questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to focus on the doubts and misconceptions posed by different questioners all around the world concerning the Islamic issues. For this, we have invited an Islamic scholar from Qom Seminary Schools to join us in this studio and answer our questions. I'd like to welcome Sheikh Nur Muhammad into this show and say salam to him. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us to have you here, Sheikh. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for accepting the invitation. And the question of the day that we need to talk about is concerning the Islamic medicine. In this time and era that we are in, there are many different types of medicine and, let's say, practitioners and experts in different types and, let's say, branches of science in medicine. Muslims usually refer to some types of medicine entitled as the Islamic medicine. We want to see that if we have a sort of Islamic medication system or medicine that has been formulated in the format of a science, a branch of knowledge, do we have something like this? We have seen some books like that of Tibb al-Sadiq, for example, whatever the medical, let's say, recommendations that has been received from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Or we have many hadith and narrations from the Holy Prophet of Islam or the infallible Imams concerning different medical recommendations. So can we really rely on these recommendations and, let's say, instructions received by Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and call it a branch of knowledge in medicine? And can it rely on itself to build a sort of well-structured science of medicine or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you again for this very valid question. Talking about Islamic medicine, you see that when we have a lot of hadith corpus or some verses of Noble Quran talking about the Islamic medicine, we cannot ignore these numerous verses of Noble Quran and the narrations of Noble Prophet and his pure progeny talking about Islamic medicine.
Yeah.
You see, if you go to the divine religion of Allah, the religion of Islam, you very obviously observe that we have Islamic medicine.
True.
And of course, these are all, maybe they are all raw materials that requires a lot of analysis, a lot of scholarly, job that we have to do as a scholar, as Islamic scholars. To do a lot of job on that, a lot of effort, some kind of, divisions of the narration, which we call it tabweeb, or doing many other scholarly work on these raw materials in order to have very formulated, classical Islamic medicine.
Yeah.
But after all, generally speaking, we have this Islamic medicine. And of course, this Islamic medicine, beside traditional medicine, by traditional medicine, I mean, for example, Iranian medicine, Chinese medicine, Indian one, or many other, countries, they have their own medicine. Yeah. But beside that, we have an Islamic medicine.
Yeah. Sheikh, are you talking about herbal medicine by your Islamic medicine, for example? Is it something that, for example, is it series of instructions on how to use the herbals?
Of course, some part of that is herbal one, but it is very much higher than that, more than that. This Islamic medicine talks about, prevention and cure. All of that. And we have a lot of general ideas of Islam talking about, different, cure of different disease. Okay? You know, I mean, beside these prevention and general ideas, we have some, you know, particular and in detail cure for that, you know, disease.
So by whom has it been, let's say, formulated? Was it formulated by the Holy Prophet of Islam or the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, infallible Imams? So who were the founders of such a branch of knowledge?
Of course, we are talking about Islamic heritage. Mm-hmm. This Islamic heritage, it has been created by the noble prophet and his pure progeny. Okay, yeah. And of course, beside that, we have, as I said, some verses of noble Quran talking about these general indication of Islamic medicine. Mm-hmm. Let me share one part, some samples for this Islamic medicine. For example, we have al-himyatu ra'sud dawa, abstinence. And to be some kind of, you know, away from too much eating and drinking is best kind of cure. Mm-hmm. And if you know, if you look at this, only one, this narration, if you check it with different, you know, physicians, they confirm this idea.
True.
That, you know, abstinence is one of the best cure and ways for the cure of the different kind of disease. Mm-hmm. For example, we have in different narration that you shouldn't eat too much. Khaffif min akilatik, which means to eat a little while you are hungry. Mm-hmm. You should eat a little and to, you know, chew it very well. And for example, when you want to go to sleep, relieve yourself before going, you know, to sleep.
Yeah.
If you observe these four recommendations about the eating and the etiquette of eating and etiquette of sleeping, we have in narration from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, if you observe all these conditions, you do not need any physician. There is no more need for physician. Or, for example, we have al-mi'datu baytudda. Stomach is the home for different kind of disease, emphasizing on the stomach. And the many diseases stem from this, you know, stomach. Of course, I can share a lot of other narration and verse of noble Quran talking about Islamic medicine.
Yeah.
But for sure, we have Islamic medicine, and it has a lot of recommendation and a lot of cure and prevention for the human being.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Shaykhna, there are many actually questions in this regard that we want you to shed some light on. Sometimes it is being said that something like traditional medicine, okay, it is quite clear that some scientists, like for example Avicenna and others, came and developed this kind of knowledge and formulated it in the form of, let's say, a structured branch of knowledge. But as for the Islamic, you refer to the Islamic heritage, not the Prophet himself or Imams of the Ahlul Bayt to be acting like a, let's say, physician. How can we actually prove that we really have Islamic medicine? For example, in the sense that Ahlul Bayt had some recommendations, that these recommendations can be looked at, like, for example, medical recommendations, and they really answer in cases of diseases. Let's make it more clear who are going to be the founders of this Islamic medicine. Are you talking about a certain, let's say, books or, let's say, a certain people who developed this knowledge? Or no, you just refer to some recommendations that we receive, for example, from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet. Like, for example, if you want to start eating something or you start your meal, start with a piece of salt and end your meal with a piece of salt. These recommendations are not going to be called as a set of, let's say, comprehensive branch of knowledge called medicine.
First of all, in order to answer your question, I would like to give you one example in this regard. For example, talking about the verses of Noble Quran, verses of Noble Quran are revealed to be a guidance, hudan linnas, guidance for all people, okay? But there is, you know, in the verses of Noble Quran, we have a lot of scientific points. There is no contradiction between having these scientific points and to be the purpose of Noble Quran, guidance of mankind.
Very true.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And to some extent, these points supporting the main goal of the Noble Quran. Okay? Yeah. But of course, the you know, the founder of the Islamic medicine, as I said, is a noble prophet and his pure progeny, you know, through many narrations, they explained for us the Islamic medicine.
But the Prophet themselves and his successes refer to the physicians while they have been, let's say, diseased or while they have been ill. So if they were the founder of such knowledge or science, why didn't they themselves refer to themselves to cure themselves?
Of course, they have the knowledge of the Islamic medicine, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't create any problem if they go and refer to the, you know, physician. For example, look at a physician himself. He is a very qualified person. He has expertise. But sometimes he himself referred to a physician. Maybe one philosophy of that is to show the way for people. Okay? If to indicate to the people that they should refer to the physician, and the best way maybe is to refer to that you know, physician. I want to say that there is no contradiction here. Yeah. You are a qualified person. You have knowledge. When it is necessary, you use that knowledge. But sometimes you yourself refer to that physician and to ask him to do a kind of checking for you, in order to benefit from the knowledge of that person.
We have a well-known rule in Islamic sciences that referring to the one who is more knowledgeable, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرٍ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, or referring to a person who is a religious authority, to learn your, let's say, Islamic teachings from a person who is more knowledgeable in Islam for that. If they have been knowledgeable in such sciences, there was no need to refer to a person more knowledgeable than them in this branch of knowledge.
As I said, maybe they want to teach people. Maybe some part of the philosophy of that is to teaching people that they should refer to the, you know, the physician. And of course, the physician that they refer to, even those physicians, they have traditional medicine. Not, you know, they have, they enjoy to have the traditional medicine which was prevailing in that time. I want to say that in the time of the Noble Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which, you know, which kind of, you know, I mean, medicine was prevailing in that time? Okay, herbal medicine or, you know, traditional medicine. Just we want to say that this kind of medicine, whether you call it traditional or, for example, herbal, was existing in the time of the Noble Prophet.
We do not have an exact report that what kind of medicine was being practiced there. Because, you know, Sheikh, in this country that we are living 3,500 years ago, cornea transplant was being done. I mean, cornea transplant is something quite new in the sense of surgery, even in the time that we are living now. It's age is less than two decades, but 3,500 years it has been practiced in this country, and the cases have been seen in the fossils that have been found in the city of Sukhta in Iran. See, so it means there might be, let's say, a kind of, let's say, profound format of medicine or medication, or let's say, different formats of even surgery at the time of the Holy Prophet. So we have no exact report of that.
The point that I want to say here, and I want to reiterate this point, is that this Islamic medicine, or, for example, beside that, traditional medicine or Iranian medicine, they are completing them each other. Okay? They are completing each other. And we should enjoy from all sorts of the medicine. okay, whether Islamic, traditional, Iranian, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The reason maybe, as I said, of course, we do not aware about the reason and the final philosophy that why Noble Prophet and his pure progeny, to some occasion, they refer to the, you know, their time, their, you know, physician of their time.
Yeah.
Maybe in order, first of all, it has a lot of philosophy. One of the philosophy is that these medicine are completing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm qualified. I have Islamic medicine. I'm expert in that. I'm founder of that. You know, talking about the Noble Prophet and his pure progeny. But of course, we need other kinds of medicine in order to complete these, you know, Islamic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, of course, we see, unfortunately, some people misusing this Islamic medicine or even traditional or any other medicine. They misuse that. They do not have comprehensive idea about Islamic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they cause a lot of problem. But it doesn't refuse the Islamic medicine. And of course, we can enjoy these Islamic medicine.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for explanations and answers to the questions and this spiritual. Dear brothers and sisters, many thanks for your staying tuned and listening to QAnon Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali. حسين وحسن